This is a Pinball News production.
It's a real honor to finally be before you. I love you all. What an incredible group of people. This is what America is all about, because pinball is like apple pie and baseball. And besides Gary Stern here, all of you are the last man standing. I'm very humbled and honored to, I have to get over this. To be here after 30 years in the industry. Who brought me this? Wait. Greg, you know how to play with my emotions. You got me back on track. Let me first start by saying that pinball is a great game. You guys know about Bagatelle. You guys know about the Roman Colosseum, football, baseball, all the other games. But the inclined playfield of Galileo Galilei and a ball pulled by gravity, the greatest mechanism this planet, an electromagnet, for us to be so fascinated and so obsessed with it is nothing but poetic, sensitive, special. As I said many years ago, when Roger Sharp got us in Life magazine at Williams, I was asked why the fascination with the silver ball. Lo and behold, by accident, I talked to my IIT professor, an architectural designer, a genius, Doug, and he calculated that the size of a pinball is between the size of the sun, which is a sphere that dominates our lives. It controls us. It controls the Earth, the solar system, and the atom, which is the smallest known sphere to us. Halfway in between the two of them is the circumference of a pinball, which I found poetic, ironic, symbolic. And in my own artistic way, I was obsessed by it, because basically, here we have spheres control our lives, whether it is the sun, the moon. Well, the moon controls the women, and they come, oh boy, the time of the month. Babumski. And therefore came Pimbot, the alignment of the planets. But anyway, getting a lighter spheres, what fascinates us more than the eyeballs of a handsome man or a beautiful woman? Or the other spheres. Spheres. Balls. So, there is much more to pinball than just the posts and the rubbers and, that silver ball. And then let's not even go to the flippers, because that's a very, I have to keep it clean, right? Okay. So, I want to tell you guys, I've heard many speeches, self-glorifying speeches by a lot of very talented and very great people in our industry. And I tell you, if you want to know about me, my work speaks by itself. The eyes don't lie, the lips do. So I would like to talk about the people who made it possible for me and possible for this. People call it industry. I call it an American art form. I don't call it an industry. If we call it an industry, then it's going to die. It is an American. I call it Americana. It's a form of art, which is both kinetical, interactive, motion sculptures. It's beautiful. You guys know what I'm talking about. No applause, just another drink. Anyway. Now, getting to the art form and the people who I'm grateful for being here, for being in Mike Shaloub's great book, for being in Roger Sharp's trips to Hollywood, for working with Greg Flores, for being in Steve Epstein's arcade on Broadway, New York. I've been on Broadway, babe. I came here as a young immigrant. Oh boy, my accent back then was terrible. I was calling lawyers liars and you name it. And I was getting away with it, like I am now. It was good accent, slip of the tongue. But getting back to, I was educated in some of the best schools in Europe, because in Europe, the best artists in communist Europe were teachers. They didn't work for Disney or J. Walter Thompson or Leo Burnett. Here, unfortunately today, the best people that should teach our children are not in schools. The failures are teaching them. Unfortunately also, in big corporations, the guys that know the secrets keep them. They're afraid to teach them to the younger guys, so they won't take their job, because the bosses will lay them off before their retirement and pay the younger kid a lesser. It's all about money. So I was very fortunate that one day Tim Murphy called Ken Fedesna at Williams and said, I know this real crazy guy who won the Metropolitan Art Museum contest, who works for Disney right now, and we can't get this so-and-so to animate Joust. So they brought me to Chicago, and when they saw my portfolio, they said, hang on a second, this guy does cartoons, he does animation, he does cathedrals, he does Radida sculpture. He can't be for real. Lucky me, Ken called the references and found out that I was a Renaissance man, educated since I was 8. I didn't have a childhood. All I did was draw, write little theater plays, do sculptures, and that became my playpen. And I loved it. no one ever obligated me or checked on me to work 16 to 20 hour days. When I do that stuff, I love it. I'm not working. I'm playing. I'm working when I drive to work. I said to Kenny, when I got hired at Williams, I want the house behind the company on Casey Avenue, where Seamus McLaughlin, I got his apartment. Because I said to him, I want to roll out of bed and be at work. And I want to roll, stumble out of work, and fall into the bar. So that was Williams, Christina's place, and my house. Perfect. Now, I mentioned Christina's place. It was a little hole in a corner of a bar, you know, the typical Chicago bar, where IRS agents, they were down the street, policemen, truck drivers, WGN news guys came in. That later interviewed me, and I said some real stupid things. Kenny wanted to fire me. It was one of those stories with the sun and the planets. And no, actually, it was. They asked me what the ideal pinball game would be to me, a game. And I said, a pinball game the size of Soldier's Field, inclined, where I sit up in a skybox with buttons. And there is this giant ball. I have this giant flippers. And inside this ball, there are some of my nasty relatives, my landlord, the IRS auditor, and I flip them. And they go over the ramps, and then I have other buttons that spray, not water, piss, or whatever. Look. So that was the time that Kenny almost got me fired. He called me. I don't know how many of you were at Williams when you heard Python Angelo, come to my office now. Or I would walk through the front door and Monique would say to me, Angelo, you in trouble? You in so much trouble. And I go to her, what? I'm always in trouble. What now? So one thing I can tell you is that, I'm trouble because, I'm not like the other kids. I always skated on the other side of the ice. You know, I did. And I didn't come from another country. I'm an illegal alien from another planet, Pythonia. Anyway, they covered up my parents' saucers crash for a long time. I landed at Roswell. You guys know who I came from. Okay. And on my planet, pinball is a religion. Okay. I'm not trying to tell you guys that I'm the Messiah. But I try through my work and my everything I was brought up with, the theatrics, the writing, the artistry, to make the children, whether they were 5 years old or they were 45 years old, I'm talking children of all ages, because men after 5-6 beers are 5 years old. So I always try to do one thing, is to create a script. When I came in this industry, not only that the so-called designers couldn't write a half-page essay, there were guys that started in a factory at Atari or somewhere. They had no concept of theatrics or a production. To me, pinball was a little circus. It was awesome. You entered in a shooter lane, you. And in Comet, I tried to do that. And you go through all the rides. And then the back class will celebrate your accomplishments. So it was like writing movie choreography or theater choreography, because pinball is a great theater. It's a mechanical Cirque du Soleil. It's awesome. Geez, I'm doing better than I thought. All right. Should I still keep it clean?
We're getting closer. Let me just smell it. It's Enjoy.
Pepsi. Yeah. Pepsi from Bytonia. They make the Pepsi on my planet out of alien balls. Anyway. So getting back to pinball, I wanted the pinball machine here. I never like to make public speeches without my girlfriend, the love of my life, which is this four-legged thing here. The machine, and it's why the machine was like for Mozart, the queen of the night for me, and I put the opera song in it. But getting back to, again, this mechanical kinetical circus, which you know, I told Rob, I said, I'll bring eggs from the Amish so some people can throw eggs at me. But I don't care. I'll tell you guys in a clean way, there are people that got in this industry to maximize profits in this industry. And they are retired in Palm Beach or wherever they are. God save their souls. And they destroyed it for all of you here. And one thing I have to tell you, tonight, this man here, Gary Stern, he's the only guy in our industry. Because you know what? Facts talk. That stayed with us, didn't betray us, didn't betray pinball, and he's still fighting. And I'm very proud to be here before you, Gary. I didn't think that way. I didn't know the difference between Gary and other business guys till this last year. Time and facts prove the truth, bring the truth up and forth. Anyway. Getting back to the kinetical circus, to the great American art form pinball. So here we had a great renaissance in the 80s, where you guys would not believe what was going on at Williams. What at Bally? I never worked as hard in my life and any of my colleagues before then or maybe after then. We are designing pinball games on bar napkins, on fishing boats, on trains, on planes. We are living pinball, eating it, breathing it. Doing 20, 30 concepts before a presentation. Recruiting geniuses, absolute geniuses. I wish Chris Graner was here tonight. And I'm going to start thanking all the geniuses that made it possible. And not just for me, not just for Williams, but raise the bar for all the other companies and for the pinball art form. When I presented Pinbot to Mike Stroh, well, Mike left the company and it was put on the back burner because, of course, the demoted king and his... But I have to give Mike Stroh the credit for telling Ken Fedesna that, hey, this crazy kid with his Star Rider and his crap from Pythonia has got something. So Kenny called me and said, why do you think Pinbot is such a great idea? I said, Voyager is reaching Saturn in a year and a half. And only by robots will conquer the universe. We cannot use our bodies to travel that long and do all that. Whoa. So Kenny said, show me this. Everybody said, this is not a pinball game. This is a freaking toy. Balls in the eyeballs and fingers were flippers. And well, I said, I think it's better than Comet because it's a whole creature where you control with your ball. Create him, give him vision. It's the creation. You lock in his balls and he says, now I see you. It's better than Gorgar. Well, when I said Gorgar, selling point. But even Gorgar was genius. Gorgar, a speaking pinball machine. At that time, in our industry, whether it was Gali, whoever it was, there was not one game that looked the same. Remember those days? I'm not just talking pinball, video, anything. Centipede didn't look like Defender. A Stern pinball, no pinball looked. Steve Ritchie was a Steve Ritchie. Whatever, Gottlieb game was at Gottlieb. So, here we are in a renaissance. They take screwballs like me from other industries that understand choreography, understand how a movie is made, a great theater production, a great circus production, like the Thunderdome. Two flipper center, one ball drain, ra-di-da, the music, the drama. And in our industry, we hired geniuses like Tobias, like Ed Boon, like Chris Graner, like John Yossi, who's the best airbrusher on Michigan Avenue. They did the stuff for Leo Burnett and J. Walter Thompson and Procter & Gamble. All of a sudden, it took an entire team. And by the way, my greatest joy and honor and the thing that I'm proud of that I introduced to Williams was at the completion of Pinbot, I could have put just my name as the designer, like the designers before. And I went to Kenny and I told Ken, I can't take $85 again, royalty, and I can only put my name on it. And Ken Federsna said, why Python? I said, I would be a scumbag if I did that. I said, Barry Osler put together the Whitewood, Futz and Rura, a genius programmer made it work. Chris Graner wrote the music. It's like a movie production. It's not like Charlie Chaplin, you know, with the monkey guy, like the old days. It took a team, like they take in Hollywood to do a great pinball game or a great video game today. You gotta have a cast, like a movie set. So I'm very proud to say that I revolutionized, and it's my only claim to fame that I'm very proud of, that I'm gonna take credit here tonight for. The rest of the credit goes to all these other people I'm going to talk to you briefly about. Without them, I wouldn't be here. Without them, Williams and the Great Pinball Games and all the other companies would have not competed to get to the level we got to. We'd have never done it. The pride of the design team, if you look under the flippers on the games, even on Bad Cats, there is the design team and there is the support team. It's like a movie set. At the end of the movie credentials on who the sound genius was, who the mechanical genius was behind it. Now getting to this wonderful guys. Tonight, I have to pay homage to Joe Joes. I don't know how many guys. Thank you. I don't care how good the storyboard and how great the programmer Futz was, and Futz was great. Without Joe Joes, Pinbot would have been a paraplegic. Joe Joes. I brought him a seashell. This is one of my awards I'm going to give somebody tonight, because seashells are the greatest designs on earth. So we cut the seashell, and we had a spiral for the entry shot in Pinbot. And then the mask. He started what I called the theatrical, kinetical, moving sculptures of pinball. Joe Joes did it. I was not, they told me Pinbot was not a pinball game. It was a kid's toy. Then everybody that put it down copied and did toys and put, and that's where mavericks are needed. Maybe that's what we need today. Another guy like me, I'm getting too clean. We need maybe some wild young kids, but without Titans. The man was a Hungarian educated engineer. I call him the Werner von Braun of pinball. He put pinball on the moon, this guy. Because of Joe Joes, John Crutch and other great mechanical engineers were hired at Williams. Williams was a war machine, guys, because pinball games are mechanical creatures, and Joe Joes was a mechanical monster. And those machines and the engineers that worked there made those helicopters fly without a lot of servicing, because pinball machines are like goddamn helicopters, man. You guys know what. Let's go to the next phase. The programmers. I tell you something. Without a Futz and Rura and without a Larry DeMar, I don't care what a machine you have, if the prop and the mechanics work and the software is not there. And the interesting thing is this. The more sophisticated and the more magical the circus is, the more elephants you have in, the more musicians, music, tunes, instruments, the more juggling this poor programmer, because he's the master in the dark, in the back. And people don't realize it. So the better the mechanical engineer, the better the artist with the art, with the fireworks, the animation in the back glass, the better the kinetics, the better the sounds by Chris Graner or Jeff Powell. All of a sudden, you got a freaking 5,000 piece orchestra. You got this John Yossi visual candy. You got Jojo Cirque du Soleil, and without a Larry DeMar or a Foots or a Brian Eddy. So I take my hat off to the programmers. They never get an autograph session. You guys should have one. And as I told Rob, he wanted me to come over, and not that I'm a shy guy, but I always told him, to me it's awkward to come here and talk about my part in the industry and my accomplishments without these other people being acknowledged and given the due respect and due appreciation. Let me move to another hidden treasure of pinball. I've talked about the designers, well, whether they're good political players or truly talented. Designers are like movie directors, like Spielberg. I've talked about, and I won't go there, because you guys know you can do your own sorting out. You guys know, because the eyes don't lie, the lips do, the great artists, from Yossi to Pat Lora to Greg Ferres to Tony Ramone, all the legends. Their work speaks by itself. The sounds of Graner and Paul and the others, you hear them. Ear candy. The mechanisms of JoJo's, as I mentioned tonight, and everybody else in the industry, besides JoJo's, there are a collection of great, dedicated, I'm talking guys that will work nights, pull their hair out, try to make a mech work. Gary knows what I'm talking about. Because I heard stories from his company or our company where you have a deadline, you have a show, and everybody's there. And we have to make that mech, because the mech is the prima donna, the diva of the game, that mech. Without that mech, you're screwed. Is like Elvis not showing for the Hawaii or whatever. You got the orchestra, you got everything, and Elvis ain't there. I call it the Elvis of pinball on the playfield. So getting back to the next, then the programmer, which is the hidden, I would call it Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Force before it all. The guy that controls all this team's work and choreography and makes it glue. Then there are other guys that you never hear about. Derek Williams designed the pinball hardware. The hardware. like Wilfredo or, you know, other guys that worked in the lab. And then last and most important is the marketing and the sales. And before I worked with Roger Sharp, I never heeded my father's words. My father said to me, son, all your good work and you have no marketing sense. You're like a big elephant that moves through the jungle unseen, quiet. You need a loud monkey with a drum on your back that goes, here comes the big boy, here comes the big boy. And tonight I would like to thank Roger. I'm sorry, Joe is not here, because Joe Chemical has been another tremendous force in our pinball world. We didn't quite get along because Joe is a marketing guy and we are like gasoline and matches. But Joe's work in this industry has been as valuable as Roger's. And I think in our industry, these two men, imagine if you, I never knew how famous our freaking was. I was on the farm and somebody said, I Googled your name, man. You Googled what? I thought it was some obscene website. Some nightclub I went to, I didn't remember. What do you mean, Google? No, I thought it was, I said, who put me on Google? It sounded like a gay nightclub site. Google, Google, Google. So he goes, no, you are, they have everything about you. So I got myself, I was Ted Nugent hunting, and we are kind of the country rock boys, and here I saw all this stuff. None of it, it was just the good stuff. It was none of the war stories, the bar story. Ted said to me, hey, Romaniac, he calls me Romaniac. He goes, you're as famous as I am, man. I said, I didn't know about who put this on. You know, he said to me, I had a great team. Because people do web pages. And I said, you see that whole bookshelf? Yeah. I said, Life Magazine, Smithsonian, Tribune, even a gay lesbian magazine called The Odyssey. I said, Roger Sharp made me famous 20 freaking years ago. He goes, he's looking at all these books and all these publications. Right there is the man. Roger not only put me on the map and my work, he put everyone in our industry on the map. And so did Joe. And without them, the pinball industry and pinball would have been gone. These guys were our voice, our flags, our parades. Imagine getting me in the Smithsonian Museum with the Bride of Pinball poem, which is pretty sexy. And imagine one day Roger comes to my office. I gotta tell you, because he didn't get the credit he deserved to, Dad Williams. We had to do a game in 3 months to buy time for Pat Lawler to do the Adams Family. It had to be a ballet game. So they called John Trudeau and I, and Kenny says to John, John, can you turn up Blakely real quick? John says, what concept? And the genius over there says, I got a pretty good license, because I know Python won't take any license, but I know his weaknesses are, he will not take, he will take Bugs Bunny, Warner Brothers. John said, I like Bugsy. Remember? He says, that's hilarious. But actually, your character was Taz. Yeah. Anyway, I liked the Roadrunner and Coyote. Anyway, remember, I drew the Roadrunner tied to the bedpost and the coyote banging him, going beep beep my ass now. That's the 19th time, Kenny. Oh. Let's have fun with it. I knew we were going to get more laughs out of this ball than what I say. Anyway, so that's the 19th time Kenny fired me, I think, or wanted to fire me. No, I quit Williams over 30 times, and I got fired over 20 times. It was one of those love-hate relationships that make great babies, and that's why the pinballs came out so good. So, Roger, by the way, I have to tell you guys what a genius this guy is. He begged Kenny and the company to do the Ninja Turtles. Begged them. The hottest freaking thing. Right? Turned down. It's stupid. Huh? No, I'm talking what we're going to do with it. I don't know what you had in mind. Oh, you should see what I would have done with the turtles. Oh man. Oh, I can, under turtle shells, I can hide all kinds of flippers and mechs. But anyway, I don't flip. Did you guys ever see how turtles make babies? It's like you meet a beautiful woman and you get closer to her, and it's next thing you know, your house is over hers. You understand? Then you're going through the windows, you line it up, it's weird. Anyway. Yeah. Can we see it? Ninja Turtles. So, that's why they put up with my shit and they won't fire me. Because I come up with more fucking excuses, ideas. Okay, so let me tell you about a genius which nobody talks about, of marketing, and nobody really, from the design and art point, paid homage and recognized fairly. And where guys like Joe Chiamico and Roger Sharp came in to the winning and the magic of our industry. So, John and I get from Kenny till Friday was Tuesday. I will always remember those 3 weeks. To Studio City when you are sitting by the pool while I'm drawing Bugs Bunny, drinking freaking cognac through the years and they're drawing. These guys in Chicago drawing the playfield. We faxing and we... Anyway, we had a birthday cake with the candles. In 3 months. Now, I did with Mark Ritchie, Taxi, I did with Barry Osler, Jokers, and Cyclone in 1 year. But the teams with those three designs, we only had 3 months with four people. Basically, you did the mechanical engineering and not just the playfield design. Roger and I went to California. Jesus, what a that place is like a bowl of granola. You know why? Some are flakes and some are nuts. And what's not nuts or flakes are fruits. We are staying at a granola hotel, remember? Okay. Roger, he's doing the marketing stuff by the pool, getting a suntan always. He was like Wallace with his big mustache by the pool, taking his rays in. I'm in the room like a vampire, drinking cognac and drawing. Then we go the next day. You guys wouldn't believe how good we were, man. We got everything. And these guys were like ass retentive. You know, I mean, if Bugs Bunny, if you even copied on a light table Bugs Bunny, and his eyeball was a 2% smaller eyeball. So I'm looking at, oh man, after 3 days, I hated Bugs Bunny. I wanted to kill this rabbit. I did. And you know what's funny? I don't know how Roger felt after those days. We came back in a blaze of glory because we got a great, very hard to get license. And then we had to have the game in 2 months done for Washington, D.C. And I would go to sleep for 2 hours and then the Tasmanian devil would wake me up. I'd be dreaming these freaking characters because you work with such an intensity. We were so obsessed to get this. What was real sad, we pulled it off. We sold a decent game, great entertainment package, but not. We didn't have the time to cook to bake the cake, you know, basically the birthday cake. But we bought time for Twilight Zone. Otherwise, Twilight Zone would have never went. Nobody knows about this. Twilight Zone, the belly line would have been closed. Nobody gave credit to Roger Sharp pulling that stunt off. Everybody talked about the Twilight Zone. Nobody talked about John Trudeau and the team that worked their freaking butts off day and night. So these are little things that, fair or unfair, you guys have to understand that it's tears, it's blood, it's sweat that kept our industry going. Okay. He says, wrap it, shut the fuck up and wrap it up. Oh. Okay. What is the wrapping paper? No, I'm serious. No, I'm gonna need a wrapping paper. Tonight I'm gonna give some awards to all the people I've been bragging about. You didn't let me get to Steve Epstein, to Mike Shalhoub. That, by the way, what a beautiful job you did for our industry. God bless you. Can I have... Oh, that's the mosquito spray. My goodness. I live in Michigan. All right. Let me get my... Where are my nominees? Who
Who gave me this beautiful T-shirt? Could I have the man that stand up? Who gave me this beautiful T-shirt? That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very honored. I got all the back glasses are full. Wow. This guy's like you that do the little things that are so big in our industry. All right. And the nominees are. Here, let me see this T-shirt. I like that. Now it smells like me. It smells like garlic and cognac. Nothing funnier than the truth. First of all, I'll start with two people in the art realm. One is Greg Ferrez, who before Williams bought Bally and so on, was a competitor, who as artists, we had a rocky relationship. Because I'm kind of, Greg is like a British battleship, you know. Yeah, I come in like a pirate, you know. No anchors, no stops, all cannons going. Greg is always looking at you know, distance, and I drove him fucking nuts. However, I always respected him for one thing. Although he was a beaten general and trooper at Bally, he joined us at Williams, and he put together a formidable, formidable visual machine and production machine. And even after I left for on a T-boat to Japan, to Capcom, Greg made me and all of you proud. So I'd like to give Greg my seashell award. These are seashells in my scuba expeditions in Australia, the Indian Ocean, and so on. The greatest masterpieces of design. And talk about design. So Greg gets the first Python Angelo seashell tonight. From the bottom of the ocean and the bottom of my heart, man, I love you, and I love what you stand for. Next is another artist from the most unlikely places. Is this lady who retouches playfields. You know Phoebe? Phoebe? Would you join me for a seashell? Phoebe has been in touch with me. She made my girl jealous, man. Who's this Phoebe? She sends you pictures of pinball games with cats on it. Why is she sending a picture of your pinball game with her pussycat on it? You understand? You know what I'm going. Jesus Christ. Try to explain that to Sheila. She's a cutting. She does amazing work. You guys know her stuff.
great artwork.
Yep. Custom artwork by Python.
I you are supposed to meow. Thank you, Phoebe, for all the great restorations of playfields and work you do for the industry, your passion. And also, Phoebe is like Rob's quiet assistant. She made sure today she had me monitored by the CIA on the highway that I'm going to make it here. How far are you? Are you going to make it? And when I got here, right? Thank you. You're my GPS. And thanks for all the great old pinball playfield restoring work she does to rehab. Yeah, they're like old pinball games. Okay, moving next. I can't give more awards than seashells, so I have to call my seashells. No, oh, I got the acorns, I got a squirrel tail. Hang on, I forgot about this. Those are the Michigan Country Awards. That's later, after midnight. One other shockingly underestimated part of our industry is guys like all of you that have a little arcade somewhere, that have a few games. And you know what? You are more awesome than the O'Donnells and the Nick Castros, man. You are right there with Gary Stern, last man standing. You are the troopers. One guy that without him, Pinbot wouldn't have happened. I wish Pinball Circus would have gotten in his arcade, but it wasn't meant to be. It's Steve Epstein of Broadway Arcade, New York.
Come on up.
Come on up, Steve. Steve sent us shocking news about a game that was not a pinball game, Pinbot. Kenny couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe it. He also sent shocking news, honest test reports. He never salted his machines. You know what I'm talking about? The salting? That's another factor that destroyed our, not destroyed it, but crippled our industry. Thanks to Steve. For decades, we got what big, you know what? Big companies pay millions of dollars to J. Walter Thompson or Procter & Gamble. He was the Procter & Gamble and J. Walter Thompson of our industry. He gave us the real deal, the real results. Okay, now we're getting to the bigger shells. These are the deep water shells. I've never worked with this man. He's been an incredible competitor. There have been a lot of good things said about him, bad things. But you know what, guys? I will tell you something. As my dad told me, the lips were made to lie. The eyes don't lie. Show me. Don't trust. The eyes don't lie, the lips do. But you see, this man has been both glorified in where I was at. He was never in my company, never around me. However, in the last 3 years, looking just with the eyes and cleaning out the wax and the rumors out of my ears, I'm proud to say that I finally see the truth about him. He's still here, and he's the last man standing, Gary Stern.
Song, yeah. Isn't it? It's a, by the way, that's from the Maltese. I got that. Diving. The Maltese. Now, next. This guy, this Australian guy, Mike Shaloub, would you join me here? He brought me a boomerang. He came to Chicago. He didn't know anybody. I gave him all the phone numbers. You brought me a, the last one I almost cut my dick off with. I threw it. I know why they call it a boomerang. You know what? Don't bring me presents like this. No, the Australians, listen to me. Australians, they do great pinball books, but they're dangerous people. They are. They eat kangaroo and, you know, marsupial and a crocodile, man. One thing, it's about their kissing, you know. What an Australian kiss is, it's just like a French kiss, but it's down under. All right, get your seashells and get out of here. By the way, great job on a great collection of books. You are the cat's meow for the pinball world, man. You are so fair. Wonderful work. Okay? Take care. Thank you, Mike. Be careful how what you say now. I got the boomy. Is it called a boomy? What is that?
Oh, koala.
A koala?
Oh, is that cute? Oh, Jesus Christ. That makes good koala.
Koala.
That is good. Anyway, boomerang. I am the samurai of pinball. No, I was the Australian warlord made me. What are you doing? Don't touch my seashells. Don't touch my seashells. They're That upsets me. Okay. One of them is yours, in case you don't know. You're going to get an award. No, you're not going to get one. Okay. Wait. Now, let's get to serious business. My two major awards. Jesus Christ, these words are dangerous, man. That's a big seashell. You still worried about me? What? Tick, 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 time is gone. Jawohl, Herr Kommandant. Okay. Shit. I'm an artist, man. Greg, remember, I'm terrible with the timelines and deadlines. How many seconds do I have? Poof. Look, another second went by. Well, another one. I'm watching, you know. Don't rush me, because I'm fucking up as fast as I can. Okay. Roger Sharp, would you join me on the stage? Hello, calling Roger. Roger.
Yeah, I think it's for you.
Hello?
It's long distance.
They still don't like me on this planet. But I'm bullshitting them tonight. They kind of, I think they like me for a little bit. I'm going to drive them crazy. Thanks, Mom. I'll see you on Pythonia. Roger, thank you so much for everything you did for our industry, for me, and every one of us. Thank you. And I hope tonight with this seashell presentation, by the way, my seashells and my butterflies are exhibited at the Museum of Natural Sciences and in universities and public schools. So I decided this year to give my collection to people as awards, because these are beautiful designs. They are incredible. And also I want you guys to know that Python Angelo has the biggest seashell collection in the world. Wherever you go to Florida or California on a beach, those are my seashells. Remember?
I won't touch them anymore.
No. Bring them for awards. I love you.
I love you.
There's the big, there's a big kahuna. This is a musical instrument. It's a weapon. It's a Kalkara sexy, could be a sculpture of a vagina. No, it's beautiful. Look at it. You know, it's right? You know what I'm talking about? Beautiful. It's a This is the mother of all shells. This is the grand prize. By the way, when I went to Belize with those natives, it was like a Brini Green on the Caribbean, okay? But we went, and then they showed me how to take a screwdriver and punch this hole so I can dislodge the animal and have ceviche, which is basically sea snail with lemon juice, parsley, and I won't go any farther with that. But anyway, it's a musical instrument too. Okay, it's like a
shofar. You know? This goes to Raburg. Thank you for everything. For, first of all, taking the risk of being embarrassed by me tonight, which I could easily still do, but I kept it clean. Okay. Thank you so much, Rob, for bringing all these people, man, this cult. You know what? I wish right now you would be like Donald Trump and you could take this whole room, and turn it into a pinball empire again. Well, we'll talk about it. In closing, I would like to say something to you guys. I'm working right now on some design projects. One of them is called Pinball 3000. By the way, it's pretty crazy. Because, by the way, you have to understand something. Games never die. People will play dice, they'll play with the rolling ball. Right now, what we need here in this little cult, we saw through history a certain art form just go dormant because of economic conditions and because of a few assholes ruining it or whatever. We are here. There is hope. And I'm so honored by your enthusiasm, by your loyalty. And I'm so proud of Rob's leadership, patience. It's amazing. If you can bring under the same roof a maniac like me, a screwball like me, and he's a square guy, all these people for all these years, and keep the faith, and bring motivation even to a warrior just sitting there on the barricades right now, because I'm sure it's very important to Gary right now. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Python Angelo.